the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
And wrestling fans, this is episode 83 of the Rant and Wrestling Podcast. I am yours truly, Rudy KD, one half of the World Tag Team Champions. I am joined by yours truly, the Tweener World Champion. Been here since the first goddamn episode. This is Doomsday. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Been getting ready to discuss this wrestling with y'all.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a fun night.
Next up, we got the heel of the show, the eater of meals. This is Mo Full Mac.
R-A-W.
We are over as F. Wrestling. We all like it. We all enjoy it. Goddamn
wrestling.
We got wrestling. We can start it off with the New Japan show that happened on Monday, kind of sorta. Monday,
yeah, kind of sorta. I think,
yeah, kind of sorta.
Kind of sorta.
It was on the 12th of October, so yes, Monday.
Monday morning.
Monday morning. This is the King of Pro Wrestling review featuring Doomsday. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
How was the show, sir? Good, bad,
yeah. It was pretty good. Like there was some. Great moments, there were some meh moments and stuff like that. The first match with the Young Lions and Juice Robinson versus Tiger Mask and the whole older squad, that was actually a pretty good 10-man tag match. Went on for eight minutes plus. Everybody showed out. Juice Robinson showed out a little bit. He had a little bit of a moment there, but of course David Finley ended up taking the L after everybody got hit with a submission move from the older guy squad. So, but that was a pretty good one. Next match was Hanma versus Yoshihashi. That one was pretty good too. Another 8 minute plus one. It was basically do or die for either of those two. To see like if they could actually progress for once. The story behind this one was that Yoshihashi was excluded from the G1, so basically he's had a chip on his shoulder ever since then. And Hanma had picked up a win during the G1. Only problem is he's still been losing ever since and beforehand. So most of the year, that win didn't really matter at all. So both of them faced each other in a pretty good match. Really, really fun to watch. Of course, Hanma was baller as usual, and he ended up picking up the win. So now he's moving on up. He got two wins this year. Two singles.
That's crazy.
Yeah, unbelievable, right?
Two wins this year. Good job.
It happened. And the next match, as I predicted, this match was, okay. As I predicted, the team with Captain New Japan ended up taking the L. It was Tenzan, Nakanishi, Kojima, and, Nagata, who won against, New Japan, Goto, Shibata, and, Kota Ibushi. Not much to say about that. Red Dragon versus Roppongi Vice. That was a pretty decent match.
Yeah, I heard it wasn't blown away.
Yeah, I wasn't blown away, and then the ending was like really wonky. Like I saw the three count, but I was like surprised for like a few seconds. I was like wondering why isn't anyone ringing the bell? It was a three count. Like, so I don't know if they screwed it up or what. Yeah, it was just the whole execution of the end was bad.
More on the story, Red Dragon wins.
Yeah, more on the story, Red Dragon wins.
Yes.
I have no idea where that is going to go. lead into or whatever. Then the next one was Kenny Omega versus Matt Sydal. That was a great match. Both of them showed out, but as predicted, Kenny Omega got the win. And I still don't know where everything else is gonna go from there with these guys. Next match was the six-man tag of Sakuraba, Nakamura, and Yano versus the Bullet Club B team of Fale, Gallows, and Anderson. And as I predicted, Yano and crew picked up the win. Yano was actually did his old like cheating to win with the low blows and ref bump and all that shit like that. Which is interesting enough because New Japan released a video maybe a few days prior highlighting all of his upset wins in the G1 going back to 2012. And all of them involved him pushing a dude into the ref, hitting a low blow, getting a pin. And it was all upsets against, like, mostly dudes that were, like, contenders to end up, like, winning or at least getting to the finals in the G1. So that was fun. That was funny. But that's basically his shtick. He picks up his win by ref bump, low blow, roll up, done.
That's a cheater.
Goddamn dirty cheater. Mm-hmm. Next one was Ishii versus Makabe. Of course, this is another, like, hard-hitting slugfest. One thing that was highlighted during it was that Ishii's never beaten Makabe for the NEVER Openweight title. He was the one who ended up losing it to Makabe, and ever since he's been trying to get it back. This one went for a good while. This one was not a good while, but it was 17 minutes plus. And there were some great spots in it. Reminiscent of Ishii and Makabe's matches as usual, and Ishii actually picked up the victory, which that was a great thing. And coming out of that, which was definitely even better, is that Honma came out to confront Ishii, and apparently it's going to be Honma versus Ishii for the NEVER Openweight title. I think that's going to be in Wrestle Kingdom. So it's going to be really interesting to see where that goes, especially for the fact that he was the one that Honma lost to. I mean, that Honma beat, and his first victory in having that huge, huge losing streak. So it's going to be really interesting to see whether Ishii will be able to stop Honma's momentum. For once, or if Honma is actually going to finally, like, get a third victory and get, like, the big win of his, like, this probably could end up being the biggest win of his career if he ends up winning against Ishii at Wrestle Kingdom. So that's definitely one of those really, really interesting things that's going on. Next match was Tanahashi versus Naito. Interesting thing about this one. Naito comes out. Actually, one other person comes out dressed as Naito with the whole suit and the mask. Then Naito comes out, same thing, suit and mask. So you're wondering who the hell this guy is. And then we're going through this match the whole way. It's a really good match. And at some point there's a bump, and then the guy who came out with Naito steps up into the ring. He undoes all his suit. He takes his mask off, and it's revealed to be Watanabe, who Ring of Honor fans know as that one Japanese dude that, mm-hmm. that's there all the time.
Who always shows up.
He's there for that paycheck, yo.
Yeah, he's always there. So apparently now he's done his excursion with Ring of Honor. He's and all that, and now he's back, and he's aligned himself with Naito. I guess Naito's thing is that he's gonna, like, kind of corrupt the younger talent or whatever, which is gonna be really cool. But Tanahashi, after he gets help from Goto and Shibata, to fend off Watanabe, Tanahashi ends up picking the win. And interesting enough about that one is that after he picks up the win, Watanabe comes back in the ring and they end up scrapping with Goto, and he hits one of the nastiest STOs I've ever seen on Goto. It's like, god damn, it looks like you almost broke that man's neck.
STO of the year.
He flipped that man on the back of his neck. It was crazy. It was nasty. And he rolled out, and of course Naito and Watanabe had their little sinister grin and laugh and shit like that. So it's going to be really cool to see what this is with Naito and Watanabe. Maybe Naito recruits more people, recruits more guys. That would be awesome. But this like duo is actually pretty good right now. It's really interesting to see. And the last match ended up being Okada versus Styles, 30 minutes. of course, Okada was with Guido, and Styles was with Gallows, Anderson, and Tama Tonga. Really good match. Not too much to say about it, but it was something that would be, like, I would say 4.5 stars. It was really good because, of course, Okada and Styles always have really good matches. I don't think they've had a bad match yet. But it was really great. Okada picked up the win. So things have fallen in line. Okada, Tanahashi, that's going to be officially what's going to lead up to Wrestle Kingdom for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. And, that's all I got to say about it. Like, I'd probably give the event itself a 7 out of 10. I ended up watching with the English commentary with Kevin Kelly and Matt Stryker, and I gotta say that was probably the worst decision ever. What was bad was Matt Stryker. Matt Stryker is terrible, just for the fact that he acts like a smark. Like he doesn't act like a commentator. He acts like a smark. So he'll just, like, a smarky fanboy, so he'll just start throwing in a whole bunch of, like, random stuff about, like, oh, this is this origin of blah, 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 and interjecting a whole bunch of stuff, like, fanboyish shit. Like, really, dude, calm down. Like,
what match did he do that in?
Fucking match. Oh, almost all the matches. Almost all the goddamn matches. So it was,
well,
like,
not like a Mike Tenay type thing, where Mike Tenay would give you fucking tidbits. It's like, I know this, by the way. I know this.
Yeah, he was really, like, he was too into it. It was really annoying. It was really, really annoying. Like, I could tolerate Matt Stryker on Lucha Underground, but I can't tolerate him in Japan. Especially in Japan, because apparently it's like while he's in commentary, he's literally jerking off under the commentator's table while everything is going on. That's how annoying he is. It's like, it's really masturbatory. It's really bad. Yeah,
that would make him a gay man. Going into wrestling. So you said we gave it a 7 out of 10.
Gay. Nothing wrong with being gay.
You said he gave it a 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
What was the match of the night?
Match of the night, definitely Okada Styles. But another one that was really good was Makabe Ishii. Tanahashi Naito was pretty good, too. So, yeah, those last three were really good. But Okada Styles was match of the night for me.
All right. So, that was the the review of King of Pro Wrestling featuring Doomsday. Yeah. Mofo Magic's turn. You, before we go to Raw, you had a little dilemma or an argument, per se, with one lead champion and your the Black AJ Styles?
Black AJ Styles.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So basically, I get a text message, a group message. We're talking, and Black AJ Styles goes, "Is it wrong of me to want to have to impregnate Sasha Banks on arrival of seeing her or whatever?" And we start talking because I said, you know, I'm pretty partial to Nikki Bella myself. Mm-hmm. And Lee talks about Asuka. And it makes me think, we've never had the completely chauvinistic who is the best looking diva argument. Not who the best wrestler is, not the best look or anything, but the best looking diva. And to me, I was thinking about it, and I was thinking, some of the hotter girls are on the indies. Look, I like Sasha. I think Sasha's pretty. But, I don't know, Becky's got that hair that I can't stand. I've said enough about Charlotte's face.
Yeah.
And, I like Naomi. I think Naomi's pretty. Yeah. Tamina Snuka's more of a Khloe Kardashian to me.
Oh, God. That's fucked up.
She used to be hot. She used to be, like I always said, Khloe Kardashian had that big innate ability to get less and less attractive every time I saw her.
Okay.
Like, the first time I saw Khloe Kardashian, I was like, oh, she's really pretty. Why do people think she's that pretty? And then, like, after a while, I was like, I kind of see it. I thought I would get your guys' opinions. And, of course, then we started talking. I mean, I'm like, I think Velvet Sky's pretty. I like Mardi Bell. Actually, Mardi Bell's grown on me. And, right. You know, the exotic goddess, Mandy Leon. I'm pretty sure that's all she's got going for her is those looks.
She is the Eva Marie of Ring of Honor right now.
Oh, damn.
I'm
and
sorry.
Eva Marie's not bad.
She's not as bad as Eva Marie, but for indie wrestling standards, yeah, she would be like the Eva Marie.
So she would kick out at 2.5. When she was supposed to take the 3.
Yeah.
It's basically opposite of what Eva Marie does.
Yeah.
And you're talking about the best looking diva, woman, female, girl, whatever. You're talking about the best looking people now or best looking people ever?
No, we're talking about best looking people now. Best looking ever. See, I wasn't a big Trish. I always was a Lita fan, but Lita's got a horse face.
Lita got that. That's the look of a Canadian.
That's not a horse face. Lita's got the meth face. You ever seen Fergie? Fergie's got the meth face.
Oh, yeah.
Lita's kind of got the meth face.
Don't do meth, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Lita kind of looks like, you know, and people understand this where I'm coming from. Lita kind of looks like she's from Dundalk.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, like if you saw Lita on the street, you were like, that girl's from Dundalk. You'd be like, of course.
Right.
Big ass tattoo on her shoulder, red hair, the fire engine red hair.
Oh man, now you know how we feel about Veda Scott. I don't get why people like her like that.
I think maybe it's the glasses. I don't know. I'm not a big Veda Scott fan at all.
People like short women. Like she's like what 5'1" at that? Maybe.
Yeah.
You know, maybe. But, man, I don't know. Maybe I got to get to know her. But as far as looks, I ain't jumping on that.
Like, I don't know. Like, she's got that nose. Like, I can't get past her nose.
Her damn voice. I don't know. It's something. It's something that, and once someone points it out, I'll be like, yeah, that's it.
Right. It's something. I can't tell you what it is either. I couldn't tell you. I'd be remiss to tell you that, hey, I know what it is. Nope. Can tell you there's something about Veda Scott too. Yeah.
Does Stephanie count?
Who?
Does Stephanie McMahon count? I mean, yeah, you know what? She has a mom look now.
No, it's that confidence, man. Stephanie walks to the ring like she owns the bitch.
Yeah. She got a pair of sacks in her damn trousers, man.
Oh God.
She's there. Nobody. You won't tell her wrong. She's a McMahon, man.
Come on, Jesus, you know,
like the hot mom.
If Stephanie told your ass to jump, you would say how high.
Yeah.
Is this high enough? No? Let me get a ladder. Like I said, she looks like a mom. Looks like a hot mom. Like if I rung her doorbell, selling cookies, she opened the door, I'm like, whoa. She's super pretty. Like, I looked at Stephanie from back in the day because I was watching, like, I think it was 2000. And you can see how young she looks, but like, she looks the same, but it's like she just matured as what she wears, you know? She was wearing all types of shit back then.
Yo, Stephanie McMahon, during the time that she was SmackDown GM, that was money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She kind of still looks like that.
Yeah, she still looks like that.
Yeah. You know, when she was over there, you know, fucking with Bischoff and shit on Raw and She was on SmackDown, like you said.
Remember when Stephanie, though, had the, you ever think Stephanie comes home and she's just like, Paul, where the fuck's my dinner at, Paul? He's like, sorry, honey. I meant to get it last week. Take your ass to the store and make me a goddamn sandwich.
Or she'll look in the sink and be like, Hunter, why isn't this chicken thawed out?
He's like, I told you this.
You were supposed to take this out the freezer 3 hours ago. It looks like you took it out 20 minutes ago.
Like, you just remember.
You forgot, didn't you? Yeah. She's like, assume the position. And he gets some, like, pedigree form and shit. Assume the position. Because you know she did it before, too. She had done her fair share of pedigrees.
Well, he brought up Natty Neidhart, and I don't know if it's her muscular form or what, but she's always smiling. And I don't know why that bothers me.
It's her face. That's what it is. Not her eyes. Maybe not even her mouth and how her nose is. You know.
But she is smiling all the time. Now look, I've seen what she's worth. I understand why.
Oh yeah, big paper.
Right. Checking out that whole, she's like, the Total Divas rerun again? Yeah, baby, cash to the pay window.
Millions of dollars.
But, you know, Cash likes Paige, and I don't know, Paige is, maybe it's a white guy thing. I feel
her
like
attitude's gonna kill me. I mean, she's not bad looking, but she is pale. But she's only pale because she's not wearing anything. Like, if she was wearing some fucking clothes, it probably wouldn't have been as bad. But you can see her arms, her stomach, her leg. And it just looked like a new bar of soap, and it just throws me off. Not the blue or green soap, people, the white soap, that hotel soap.
Like, she come down the steps of the 90s, you'd be like, whoa, girl, shit.
Right. take that bed sheet off. A fucking ghost. Oh, man. But, I mean, Paige isn't that bad. I just think she's going to give me enough sass to make me want to kill her. And I'll be like, not right all the time.
Now, what do we think about Becky Lynch? Becky Lynch with orange hair. See, I remember the first time I saw Becky Lynch was when she had brown hair. And I thought, oh, I love me for Becky Lynch. Oh, there's something about her now with that orange hair. I just can't get over it.
It's too bright. The Jean Grey, the Phoenix. It's too bright. I mean, it's cool. But then, like we talked about, I think last week when we saw that commercial, I don't know what her hair was made up or what. Like, her hair was in a ponytail one side, and it was braided in one side, bangs in the front, you know, ponytail in the back, crocheted shit. I don't know what she's doing. Let's just wear it down. And then, you know, she got the goggles on. And I don't know.
That white girl stuff, though, do so much to your hair and everything.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. But she's not bad looking.
Oh, no, I don't think she's bad looking.
No. Like, far as, like, her Paige and Charlotte, I'll probably put Becky Lynch over Charlotte.
Oh, I definitely, I did not find
it. It would be Becky Lynch, Paige, Charlotte.
I'm telling you, Charlotte looks like Ric Flair. I'm kidding with the daddy. You're not supposed to look that much like your dad when you're a woman. She has his chin. She has that man's chin. You're not supposed to have your dad's chin when you're a woman.
You know who I believe looks like their father, and I never even seen her father? Angelina Love. I swear she probably looked like her damn dad.
She does, probably.
Probably. I just look at her and be like, yeah, I can see a lot of your father in you.
You know what, though? Angelina Love is one of the best fucking bodies in wrestling. Like, that, like, I don't know what it is about her body, but Angelina Love is, like, you could tell she could do some shit. Like, you gonna get turned out that night. Like, you don't know how it's gonna happen, but it's gonna happen. you gonna go in the room fine. You gonna go in the room thinking, hey, this is me. And you gonna walk out. I ain't know what's gonna happen like that. I know it was going to get down like that.
Right.
Like,
I was not ready.
Right. That's what I feel like when I see Angelina Love. You know, that's the only thing I could think of. But I don't know. What do you guys think of Mickie James?
Haunches.
She got booty.
Goddamn cakes. You've been eating right.
Cakes.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. Eating right. That cornbread. There's some of that starch in there. She had that forever. Like, she's not like she gained it over the years. That shit's been there since Alexis the Rich. Like, if she finally got, you know, makeup, got her hair all nice done, got a cool outfit. Because before, she didn't start off like that. She was completely different from what she is now. A lot older. I believe she's, what, high 30s, maybe 40s? She's not.
Oh.
By the way, my favorite of all time was Layla L. Lay Cool.
I don't like the other one. What's Undertaker's wife?
Michelle McCool.
Yeah. No. I think, no. Uh-oh. Okay. Layla, fine. The other one, no. No.
Yo, Dawn Marie has Undertaker, so.
She's on the, to me, she's on the same level as Charlotte. I can't.
Michelle McCool.
And, I said Charlotte on the same type of bracket, same boat. For me.
Same boat.
Yeah. The Funkadactyls, Naomi and, what's the other one? Cameron.
Yeah.
They're fine.
I think Cameron's really pretty.
Yeah, like, they're
Cameron. Shit, she's really pretty.
See, that's where I disagree with everybody. I don't feel Cameron at all.
Okay. I mean, she's fine. She looks like a typical black lady.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with it. It's just like she looked like all the other ones. Long hair, Brazilian probably. Eyebrows on fleek. Nails on fleek. You know how they do it.
Everything on fleek.
Yeah, you know how they do that shit. Like, you can tell the difference between Cameron and Athena. You know, they're completely different.
William Morgan on this show loves Athena, but oh, damn, Athena. Woo! That's a... Woo!
That's another one.
Jesus.
He said Jesus. Jesus, how you do that there?
I'd leave my wife. Dang.
That's real. Right there. You know, okay. What about Candice Michelle? Her little short stint when she was there.
Candice Michelle, from what, brunette?
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, I remember Candice Michelle. I remember her. She was on the GoDaddy commercials and stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She was alright.
She was okay. She wasn't, I think she was better than Eve Torres. I was not a fan of her at all. I don't know why. She just looks, I don't know. She's like she shouldn't be.
Is that the one with Zack Ryder?
Yeah.
See, I have a thing for Spanish women. I love these
things. Oh, man.
I think she got a Gracie baby now.
Oh, yeah, good.
She went into MMA or some shit.
I think what she does is that she's like an instructor in like BJJ in California or something like that. But her husband is one of the Gracie, part of the Gracie family, and I think she just had a kid not too long ago.
Wouldn't surprise me. A lot of them leave the business. Start popping up some babies. What do y'all think of Kelly?
I wasn't really feeling her that much.
Too Barbie dollish.
Yeah, two Barbie dollars, yeah.
Yeah. Not my thing.
Nah, you're not going to get any love on your show, on this show being Barbie doll. Not on the Rant and Wrestling. You might get it on the Rough House podcast.
Who I do like over TNA Testmacher, Brooke Test.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Nice little rump.
Oh, yeah. Brooke Testmacher. Good one, booty. Good one.
Mm-hmm. That one was a sleeper because I didn't know she had it back there.
That came out of nowhere.
Yeah. It was just like, you know, you see her in the front, you're like, oh, cool, she's cool. Then she turn around and hit the ropes and be like, wait, what is that? What she got back there?
Have you ever seen the Brooke Testmacher twerking video?
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was her versus Robbie E or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm. Changed my life. Made me become a Catholic for 6 hours.
Who else they got? What about Gail Kim?
Not a fan of Asian.
Yeah, she's...
You know, to be honest with you, it kind of weirds me out that her and Robert Irvine fuck. Like, I just don't understand how that happened.
She never interests me. Even in the ring. She was cool, but as far as looks, she just... Nah. Uh-uh. It's like, if she started talking shit about how other people look, I'd just be like, nah, I think this is not your fight.
Come on, son.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, hit her up with the, come on, son.
What about Taylor Wilde?
I forgot which, was it? Is that the Canadian one?
She was the blonde, John.
She wasn't there for long.
Taylor Wilde.
I did not like Taylor Wilde. I did not like Taylor Wilde.
She wasn't. No. Or that girl. What was her name? The tag team partner was Sarita.
Sarita was okay. Sarita wasn't really that. Sarita was okay. You know. I mean, I guess, like I said, Spanish women, and I guess, you know.
What about Rosita?
Oh, God, Rosita, though. Shit. Mm.
Good Lord. Rosita.
Rosita.
And you didn't turn the corner on that one, baby.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's like 3 weeks of TNA that you weren't watching.
Oh,
like, yeah, you should go back. And she was
Adam Rose?
Party bus guy. Adam Rose.
Yeah.
She was one of the Rosebuds.
Yeah, she was there, I think, was it? I think it was one of the New York shows or some shit.
Yeah, she was one of the Rosebuds and everything.
Yeah.
Oh, matter of fact, I almost fucking forgot to say her name. What's Cody Rhodes' wife? The one that be announcing.
Edom.
Yeah. She's really pretty. That man got lucky.
Cody Rhodes is an attractive man, though. He looks nothing like his brother or his daddy. His motherfucker is really good. Looking.
He got lucky with that one.
That's a
he got, He
got lucky in two fronts. He got lucky for his looks. And his wife's looks.
Right. His wife's looks is amazing.
that man got, I don't know who Dusty was sleeping with, but he got the lucky straw there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. They don't have the same mother.
He was like, so my dad is the American Dream Dusty Rhodes, and my mom is hot?
Right.
Win-win. Because I'm sorry, he doesn't look anything like his damn daddy. Dustin looks just like his dad. But...
Oh, wait. What's the other one? Well, who's the one Dean Ambrose is dating? The blonde haired chick?
Renee Young?
Yeah. Her lips look too thin. It ain't gonna work for me. Can't. It's not. Some people might think she's attractive, cool. She's a cool person to be around. No problem. Hang out with her every day.
What about Melina? Remember Melina? Johnny Nitro's girl?
Oh, yeah. Her. She's cool.
But she did the splits?
She better not fucking start cussing at me, because I'm going to start hearing it every day. She won't shut up. But yeah, she does look really good. I think she looked better than Renee Young. I think she might look better than Cody Rhodes' wife. I'm going to keep
saying. Batista was hitting that, wasn't it? That's a rumor,
allegedly,
right?
Allegedly.
Yeah, that's word on the street. No, street.
Yeah, allegedly, Batista was smacking that around on the back end and everything. Yeah.
First of all, let's name all of CM Punk's partners. Y'all day.
Well, the thing is, Maria. What about Maria? Like, Maria gets a lot of play here in Baltimore, and I don't know. Maybe because she gets so much play here in Baltimore, that's what makes you turn her off.
She has a good body. That's what I would say. Good body. That's about me. None of it stands out like, hey, I want to take her out. She looks like she manipulates a lot of people.
Yeah, that's true.
She looks like she'll get what she wants by, you know, batting her eyes and all that shit.
Well, I'm about to make Rage go crazy because I did not find AJ Lee attractive.
Wow, no?
I don't either. I'm sorry.
This is not bad. Like,
she's tiny for me.
As far as it being pretty, she's more, like, cute than sexy.
Yeah, that's it.
She doesn't give out, she doesn't give out that whole obsession vibe. Like, Nikki Bella, you know, you can tell by how she just walked through the damn ring. She knows she's a bag of chips and mold, you know. And AJ Lee can't pull that at all. You know, no matter how much you dress her up, she probably won't even feel comfortable.
It just, to me, and I mean, I just feel like I'm over 30. I need a woman with, you know, that don't dress like she's in a, like she's a fifth grade boy. You know what I mean? Like, them Chuck Taylors gotta go. Sorry, boo-boo. No, take them off.
I wear them, bro.
Get rid of them high socks.
Right.
Yeah.
That's your fucking age. That's your goddamn age. We're going out to dinner.
We're going out to dinner.
And maybe CM Punk likes that shit. I don't know. Cause he another one, it looks like he don't ever dress up. Like, he don't have, he had a suit at the award show. Cause I didn't think the motherfucker owned one.
Yeah.
You know, I'm be honest. Like, if I told you, hey, CM Punk has 7 suits, you'd be like, whoa!
Yeah, 2!
Yeah,
2 at most. It's like, whoa.
He has his announcement suit and his dinner suit.
That's it.
That's it.
And both of them got clip-on ties. Because we don't know how to tie no tie. Come on now. Fuck that. He's CM Punk.
Right. Dean Ambrose looks like another one don't have a suit. That motherfucker looks like he dresses like that every day. Tank top the other day.
He one of those ones that got 2 suits too.
Yeah. Yeah. Like what, the Hall of Fame's tomorrow? Okay, I'm getting my suit today.
You know. And then he don't even own one. He just rents them. He just rents them.
Right.
Now Roman Reigns looks like he got some suits.
Roman Reigns does look like a pretty boy. Roman Reigns definitely looks like somebody who definitely spends a lot of time in the mirror. Just saying. Getting
shaving
that hair right.
Chest and shit.
Right. Telling his daughter to get out the room. Daddy will be ready when he's ready.
Right. Just his body with Axe spray. Or Old Spice, whatever the fuck.
Daddy needs his salt time. Like, he comes by, just like, puts a bunch of rock salt in the fucking bathtub.
Goes with You know he got that bubble bath ready in that big ass tub. It's a big ass unnecessary tub. Just for him.
Probably wears a hairnet in the bathtub.
Oh, yeah.
I work on this by myself.
He on that black woman regiment.
Right. Gotta keep it up. I gotta imagine, who's his baby mama? Because it's some black chick, because that girl is too dark.
It's a black girl. Yeah, it's a black girl.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, I know she's probably fucking kicking and screaming now.
She's good. He's probably happy to get away from her. That's why you come down the ring the way you do. You're trying to avoid her.
Right. I wouldn't tell the homegirls down at the Rite Aid that my damn baby father is Roman Reigns. What you doing?
My baby daddy, fuck your ass. Roman Reigns.
All
I got to do is make a call, boo-boo.
That man, football player.
You boo-boo.
I could be wrong. I think he went to Georgia Tech. Speaking of football, I had my first fantasy football loss last Monday.
Oh, I still haven't won a game.
Really? What?
Still have not won a game. I actually had a 5-point lead turn into a 30-point deficit in the span of 3 minutes.
Damn, that's a nightmare.
The guy had Brandon Cooks, Tevin Cole, Deontay Freeman, and Matt Ryan. So, out of nowhere, they had that drive at the end of the game. And, of course, Deontay Freeman, he went over 150 yards, and in my league, you get a bonus for 150 yards, and a bonus for, you know, so many touchdowns and everything like that. And then Brandon Cooks got literally a junk touchdown on the last play of the game.
Damn.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm so sorry.
I lost by 12 points.
I lost, but, like, I was up by 6 when Monday came. And he had Antonio Gates. And I was like, if we could just keep Antonio Gates away from the end zone, I'll be straight. He scored a touchdown in the first quarter.
Yep.
And I was just like, well, there you go.
Turnage.
There it is. So I don't got to stress for the whole night, you know, because I could be biting my nails to the fourth quarter. Instead, I was just like, oh, there's my first loss. I'm 4-1.
Well, the thing is, like, remember when Raw had that really low number last week?
Yeah.
And I was like, why is that happening when Aaron Rodgers was – I mean, that game was a blowout. I think they beat the Chiefs by, like, 30 or something like that. I forget people had Aaron fucking Rodgers on their damn fantasy team. They were like, hey, got to get that. Got to make sure that he gets them points. So,
right.
The NFL, man, they're going to have – the Vince going to have a problem very, very soon. A big, big problem.
He has a problem now.
He had a problem. Yeah. Couple years ago. You don't care. Who's this competition?
That's true. I mean, the thing is that, like, I heard, like, I read and everything, and everybody's like, well, if you make it, you know, if you make a storyline, stuff like that, interesting. I don't even know, man. Like, because they did that really interesting storyline last year with Seth Rollins' return, and then I mean, he didn't really do anything. You know, so, I mean, what can you say?
Yeah, the ratings are just gonna keep going down. And, but does he care? Like, they ain't doing no improvement. I don't think. They're still going with this whole Kane thing until, Hell in a Cell, probably.
The best shit they got right now is freaking, New Day. That's the best shit they got right now.
We told you that last year.
And they're in the tag team.
We told you that last year.
What did they do on Raw since they closed the show last week? Did they do anything better this week?
Not really. they had some moments. They stole the win from Ambrose and Randy Orton. And then there was the whole lumberjack match with Seth Rollins and Corporate Kane, which ended up being Demon Kane. But What was interesting about that is that they were the guys who ended up instigating a huge ass brawl that happened during the the lumberjack match. Got into the ring, got all the heels in the ring with them, and it was about to go to town on Kane. Big E was about to do that splash that he does before Kane sat up, and then everything just went to hell from there. But yeah, they're. Apparently they're like a big part of Raw though. That's the funny thing about it. They're a big part.
I guess.
I gotta tell you this last year, ladies and gentlemen. There ain't no room on the bandwagon no more. There ain't no more room.
Are you sure? What about in the back right there?
I'm holding this one to myself. Cause everybody on the internet, calling them the Blue Day. This is horrible. How can you have it? We all survived. Rant and wrestling. Four gentlemen on this show. We said, give it a chance. Give it a chance. Now, if everybody want to act like, I liked it since the beginning.
Positivity going to their heads a little too much. Save the table. Booty. Like, it's New Day is the attraction to Raw. But it's 3 hours. It's 3 hours. And then you see them for, what, a max of 15 minutes if they have a match? Their segments are like maybe 3 minutes, maybe 4 minutes long, maybe 3 minutes. Then they have a match for like 10, have a little beat down at the end, maybe like 2, you know? So I have roughly 15 minutes of them. And then after that, New Day's done. You got to deal with Kane switching, you know, personalities. And only thing I got out of Raw from last Monday.
Yeah.
Okay, so the U.S. Open Challenge happens.
Of course.
John Cena faces Dolph Ziggler, right? My idea's already gone out the window. So I now don't give no shit. Everyone's now talking about, oh, how cool that match is. You know, Dolph should have won. Blah, blah, blah. That was a great match with John Cena.
and I'm telling these people, I'm like, okay, name a match, a good match, a great match, that Dolph Ziggler was in, and he won.
And he won.
The Survivor Series match count last year?
Sure. If you want to. He had a supporting cast with him. But sure, you can go with that one.
Daniel Bryan matches. He never won any of those, did he?
No.
No.
Daniel Bryan beat him.
Couple times.
I mean, you could say the Cena Dolph Ziggler match with the ladder match that they had at TLC like a couple years ago. That wasn't bad, but it was more of a shock because Ziggler won that one. But it wasn't no blowaway match that people are going to go back and look at. You know, if they're going to go back and look at a match, he's going to be losing it. So, he needs to have... No, just let him go. I'm done.
I don't know where he goes, though. I mean...
Because they're aiming... Apparently, allegedly, it's aiming for a Hell in a Cell match. Like, a Hell in a Cell match between...
Well, Cena, Cena's supposed to be taking time off. Is he facing Ziggler?
That's what's going to happen, but we'll wait and see.
Yeah, because I was like, they just had that match Monday. And
one thing that was interesting, though, was that Dolph raked John Cena's eyes during the match.
Yeah, he had to do what he had to do, man.
He's doing whatever it takes, man.
Yeah, it's funny. It's be the champion of the United States. Now, I didn't agree on how the match ended because Dolph Ziggler hit the zigzag. And then after, you know, he gets the two count, I believe he just gets up, attitude adjustment, game over.
Yeah.
I believe that's how it ended.
Yeah, it was so dumb. The match itself was great, but the ending was garbage.
Yeah. That one has to change. He cannot get up from a finish. Well, damn it, we've seen it for years. So it's not nothing really new. It's just something that we have seen.
It's that LOL Cena wins moment. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
That's the type of shit people don't like. We want to see something competitive at the end, not just, oh, he comes out of nowhere and beats you. Like, come on now.
Comes out of nowhere. He got up and beat him. That's it. And I'm thinking he's going to kick out of the attitude adjustment. Because normally people do.
Yeah.
A lot, you know, he'll have to do that shit maybe like two, three times. That was the only one and the match was over. Maybe they were running low on time, I guess. But, look, I'm trying to find excuses. You know, I'm not supposed to do that. I'm not supposed to find excuses. It's supposed to be up. You know, so Ziggler lost. Yes, he ripped the eyes. If he goes heel, fine. Fine. He can go heel. Not a problem with that. But,
there's no point of him going heel because nobody's going to boo him.
Yeah, no one's going to boo him.
Well, no one's, I mean, if he keeps losing, who's going to care?
No one cares anyway. No one cares about Dolph Ziggler.
So just let him go.
There's nowhere for him to go. Where
that's fine. He can just stay home. He don't have to go anywhere.
Speaking of nowhere to go, freaking the whole Rusev, Summer Rae, Lana, all this other shit.
What are they doing with that?
Like, Dolph.
Where's he going to go?
Like, Dolph is out of that. Dolph is out of that, period. He's done.
Yeah, he got out.
And, like, apparently they're using. Because apparently Lana and Rusev got engaged, and it was announced on TMZ and other news sites and blah, 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 and all that shit, right?
Yeah.
So, Raw happens, and Summer Rae's talking to Rusev, and then she's like, I can't do this anymore, blah, blah, blah. They show, like, the picture of both of them, like, Rusev and Lana engaged on TMZ and shit on the Titantron, like, a picture of it. And then she slaps him in the face, and it's all this, like, stuff like that, and I'm, like, confused. I'm, like, wondering, what was the point in all of this?
And the ratings?
All of this. Like, they really just squashed that whole, like, storyline in the weirdest.
2 months! Three months?
At least three months.
3 months down the fucking drain.
Mm-hmm. Had a SummerSlam match that ended. And a damn countout. A double countout.
Yo, they really hit the reset button on this shit. It's really...
What about Kevin Owens?
Kevin Owens, he was...
Or Cesaro. One of those two.
Well, Kevin Owens, I think... I don't know. He's feuding with the Lucha Dragons right now. Yeah. Like,
both?
Yeah, both of them, basically.
Why the fuck not, right? Why the fuck not?
Because he faced...
I know, right?
He faced Sin Cara last week, and now he faced Kalisto this week. And, he beat both of them, and I have no idea where that's actually going.
Hey, I mean, he's the Intercontinental Champion, and he's winning matches, so that's new.
Lucha, Lucha.
Like, normally, Intercontinental Champions would lose to anyone, you know. So, and Cesaro, was he on the show?
I think he was tagging with, Neville.
Wow, that's another one.
There was this one spot I remember when, Cesaro actually, gave him that gorilla press and tossed Neville out of the ring.
Oh, that's bad.
That was a good moment.
So what? Next week? Well, not this Sunday. The Sunday coming up is Evolve. So the Sunday after that is Hell in a Cell. And I believe you got, what, three Hell in a Cell matches? Two of them? I know Brock Lesnar and Undertaker. And I think they said Bray Wyatt and Roman Reigns. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I think there's going to be Bray Wyatt and Roman Reigns. And then there's also going to be Dean Ambrose and Randy Orton versus Luke Harper and Braun Strowman.
Where probably Dean Ambrose will turn heel, finally.
One of those two is going to turn heel. I don't know.
Now, you think they're going to keep cheering for him if he turns heel?
Who knows?
Man, I don't even know.
I mean, I think Dean Ambrose could cut some really good heel promos. The problem is that his heel promos are really good. Like, they make you kind of sort of want to cheer for him really good. But I don't know. I literally don't know.
Book the WWE main roster. Don't touch TNA. I mean, damn it. I do it every
week. I read, an article on PW Insider because, you know, as Foodie Life said, you like to frequent that website.
I know.
I don't know what the fuck he was smoking because this guy goes, you know what they should do? Bring back Daniel Bryan.
Oh, man. Your boy.
What the hell? That's a suggestion.
Wait. Bring back Daniel Bryan to do what?
To win the Royal Rumble. Because that'll get people talking again.
Really?
Well, that bring the ratings up?
Well, I mean, it'll bring the ratings up until the motherfucker goes out again. Like, that's the only problem I have with Daniel Bryan. He can't stay healthy.
I don't think that'll even work. I think the ratings are still going to drop. Or stay at a really low rating.
Do you believe in any way, shape, or form that Daniel Bryan can wrestle a full year?
Not
Does anybody
anymore.
Believe that? Is anybody at that point where they're like, yeah, Daniel Bryan's going to wrestle, I'm going to see him at WrestleMania 32 and 33.
In a suit?
Basically.
God damn it. You know, but for the people that are healthy, you got to just use them. You know?
Well, the crowd turned on Roman Reigns. They had him. The crowd turned on that. Then, I don't know. I don't know how you fix it. I don't know how you fix it. I mean, I have no idea how you fix it. And, I mean, he did say something I agree with. He said that he felt that Sasha Banks was the best wrestler in America, which I'm sure we can talk about, but going today. Sasha Banks, yeah, he just called Sasha Banks the best wrestler in America today.
The best female wrestler in America?
Oh, best wrestler.
Oh, I'm told out of everyone, out of the whole bunch of guys and girls.
In America, the best wrestler in America is Sasha Banks. And I honestly think you can find an argument for that. That's not a full, that's not exactly a horrible statement to make. That's something that could very well be the truth.
You gotta find this better than her.
But I mean, I don't know what you do. I mean, I really don't know what you do. Because, I just feel like the people who watch Raw are going to watch Raw regardless. And the people who aren't watching Raw aren't going to start just because something happened.
Right. It's like, what can you do? And they're like, nothing. All right, so next week on Raw, you know, and it'd be like, yo, you're not even going to think of a solution?
Right.
But why?
I know people are like, they want it to be more like NXT, but how?
They'd have to hit the reset button.
But like, we say that every year. Like, every year we want them to hit the reset button, especially around this time. You know, they don't say it when the WrestleMania season or the Royal Rumble comes around. We say it right around at the end of SummerSlam. Every single year, they need to hit the reset button. They need to hit the reset button. What are they doing with this guy? They need to push this guy. Nope, this guy. Push, nope, this guy. Nope, this guy. You know, I want to watch Divas. No, I don't want to watch the Divas. Let's watch TNA. Oh, wait, they don't have a cable deal. You don't know what's going to happen. You know, you just, it's just not, nothing's going to work. And it's not even the fans. It's them. It's the system. NXT is fine.
I think Cena leaving for 6 months will help. All he's going to do is fucking come back.
I don't even think he's leaving for that long. I think he's leaving for like 2 months at that. They need him. Yeah. Who's going to boo the good guy?
Well, all of a sudden, he's going to come back. What happens when he comes back? I mean,
it's booed. And cheered by the parents.
I mean, who do you push?
Dean Ambrose? At this point, who cares who they're going to push? I don't even think they think about that right now.
Exactly. I agree with that statement.
Like, they don't give two shits. And when did they give a shit? When Eric Bischoff was on the other side of the enemy, on the enemy line?
Well,
that was years ago.
Whooping their ass. That's pretty much it.
Right.
But you know how, but that's the thing. How hard will it be? Because the only thing the one thing WWE has over everybody else is money. So you gotta think, if you are a wrestler, and I mean they just fucking James fucking Storm, that old ass is in NXT.
Samoa Joe as well.
Hey man, right. James Storm is not signed though. James Storm is not signed.
He's still there.
But they're not even on like the hey. You know, these guys are on NXT so they can learn WWE style and get up. No, like, they're keeping Samoa Joe's ass there. Like, there's been no rumors of Samoa Joe coming up. Zero. And it looked like the only reason they got him, honestly, was just so that they didn't have to deal with Ring of Honor. I don't know how true that is, but that's what it looked like.
But.
So, I mean, unless a company's willing to match the wages WWE gives, it's going to be...
Which is not.
Right, which is kind of hard to do.
WWE literally has to be generous and be like, you know what, I don't think it's going to hurt us if we go this low. And the other side is like, thank you. You know, it's a juggernaut, man. It can't be stopped. No one's going to stop them. Like, people argued and say that, you know, what is the better company, I think Ring of Honor is now the number two company.
No, they're not. I said it's war. It is how it works. Raw is number one. SmackDown is number two. NXT is number three.
Now,
oh, God.
He was saying, this is a long time ago. I meant to bring this up months ago. The guy was like, matter of fact, it was Bobby Cruz. He was like, yeah, I believe that Ring of Honor is the number two brand. And yes, he works for them. I get it. TNA's in turmoil. Sure, that argument can be said. Ring of Honor's number two. One guy says, I don't think it's good to be happy to be number two. You should always aim to be number one. No one really aims at number two. Do y'all have any problem with that? On just being number two, as far as wrestling, not in the world, not in sports, just WWE wrestling, you know, the fake shit, people. Being number two compared to the top tier juggernaut that WWE is, to me, not a problem. I don't care who number two is. Ring of Honor, TNA, doesn't matter. Being number two against them is an accomplishment. At least being known as number two.
Do you ever
have any thoughts on that?
I honestly think that's the only goal you can have.
Thank you. That's what I was saying. WWE, as shitty as they are, for years, as shitty as they are, they are still number one. They're still with the most money. Even when Vince took that hit, they still had more money than TNA and Ring of Honor, I'm sure, combined. I'm sure. So,
I mean, what else? Well, you're not going to stop. WrestleMania has been going on for 33 years. Just WrestleMania.
And they're planning to fill out fucking Jerry World.
Yeah. Just WrestleMania. I mean, it's going to be a hard, it's going to need a new generation of wrestling fans for there to be a strong number one again.
Yep.
And the problem is the people who go to Ring of Honor shows aren't people who bring new wrestling fans into the fold. So you're going to get the guys who are like streamer guy stuff who, you know, are trying to get themselves over, but they don't bring any new people in. That's like, here, this is what you got to watch when you're not watching Monday night.
Well, WWE, do they bring in new people?
Yeah.
Like, well, but how can
they? You'll take your kid to a WWE show.
Dropping. If they're bringing in new people and the ratings keep dropping, how does that work?
Because they're bringing in younger fans. I mean, younger fans.
Oh, sure. Younger.
I mean, yeah, like, you're not going to get... I mean, are you really going to see a bunch of... You're not going to see the 15, 60, 8, 9, 10-year-old crowd at a Ring of Honor show. You're going to see them, but you're not going to. They're not going to be as prevalent as the, you know, 20-something wrestling thing, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. So, there's no way to fix the WWE. Is there a way to fix TNA out of the sinking ship?
No.
No? It's all over.
Because the way TNA needs to be run is how they're run now. And honestly, their product over the last 6 months has been phenomenal. Nobody fucking cares.
Yeah. Where did the money from?
Who do they have on the roster? I don't even know who the fuck Eli Drake is.
I don't even know what Bram looks like to this day.
Yeah, I still don't know who.
I hear Bram. Is that the one that keeps re-signing with TNA every freaking month?
Bram is the one. He got fired from WWE. He was on NXT. He was part of the original Ascension, and he had gotten fired for some DUI stuff, right? And then, like, TNA signed him. They promoted him prominently. He's been doing his thing. I think he had some stuff against, like, Abyss and all this other stuff, blah, blah, blah. And like, I think this year he ended up getting arrested for domestic assault or battery, something like that, whatever. But somehow he's still freaking signed and still wrestling for TNA.
TNA keeps their wrestlers in the dark of what's going on. They don't even know what's going on. And they're still breathing. They're not.
He was about to leave.
Like, and if he does leave, like, it still wouldn't even matter. It still wouldn't matter. If Jeff Hardy left, it wouldn't matter. These motherfuckers took the world title away from Matt Hardy, and he only had the title for, what, a day? 2 days? And now they're having a world title tournament or whatever, and they have women in there also. People are going to throw a fit if they see a man versus a woman. I think that's how they're going to do that deal. Whoever wins that final three brackets, I guess, got to go each other. They're going to lose their mind. Only one that can hold their own probably is Awesome Kong. And Kong's not the Kong that we used to remember. You know,
well, I think the way the tournament is set up, they're only going to have one woman in the next round.
One woman in the next round? Because how is this working? I didn't even know how to do the Bound for Glory series. I don't even know how to do that. I don't even know what that
is. Oh, yeah, I don't. I thought that. Didn't that go by a point system?
I never even watched it. I can't even tell you. I didn't watch enough to let you know. I don't know. I don't watch it. I used to, but I don't do it now. They ain't gonna make me.
I don't even know no more.
But you can't. It's like. But like. People didn't know years ago. Like. There was people in 2009 said that TNA was going to go under. And they're still breathing. But why? Why won't they just go away? They keep going, man. But we can fix Ring of Honor, right? That's positive.
Yeah, that's possible. Yeah, that's the work.
Or is it?
The problem with Ring of Honor is that they are as far as they possibly can go. Like, I have a feeling they are not going to get any bigger, and that makes it a little bit frustrating as a Ring of Honor fan.
Yeah.
They're still trying, though. They're doing their thing. How about that? They're just trying to be them. They're not trying to be TNA. They're not trying to be WWE. They're just trying to be them.
Y'all heard about this? So we've been talking about the Women of Honor, right?
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. There's definitely Mandy Leone. That's one person. Who else? Taylor Hendricks is going to be part of that, I believe. Who else? That one Italian John that faced Mandy Leone. I think she's going to be part of it. I don't know. And now, I think recently they just announced Leah Von Dutch is going to be part of it also. And she is going to have a match in one of, I think their October 23rd show in Kalamazoo against Mary Dobson. So they are definitely adding more women to their
they're serious roster. About
it. Yeah, they're getting serious about it.
If they want to, I would just leave it alone and do whatever they got to do. But it's whatever they want to do. I don't think it's going to really hurt them that much.
Yeah, it's not.
You know, and I'm trying to find this title series here. And I think they have a new group. Because I remember we talked about the group knockouts and the UK and the champions. Now they got this thing called Group Wildcard. And they have this guy, I don't know who he is, Crazy Steve, Aiden O'Shea, Mahanbali Shara, and Kenny King. Now, how is that possible? Because it's old, that's why. Oh shit, I just realized that. TNA does take that. Oops. Alright.
Spoiler alert, Kenny King ain't winning.
I know, right? If you haven't figured out. Sorry guys, don't bet your money on Kenny King. He's in Group Wildcard. But anything else y'all would like to bring up?
Actually, condolences by the way, to Bill DeMott. He lost his daughter over the weekend on Sunday to a car crash. So, no matter what you think of the band, or whatever, definitely condolences to him for going through something that's pretty much unspeakable in any term. So, wanted to bring that up.
Yeah, losing your loved one, really tough to go through. Losing your child at, you said 21?
22, something like that, yeah.
22? Yeah, early 20s, that's got to be painful. That's got to be painful. Just be strong there, Bill. We never really said anything bad about him, but if there's people out there that's saying something bad about him now, y'all need help.
Yeah,
y'all need help. Right. You know, just be nice.
You know that WooTube chat? Crowd, they would probably dig into it because that has to be the worst subsection a wrestling fan ever. YouTube, right?
I've heard of it.
It's on Tama.tv. It's basically this online wrestling channel per se. Of course, this is a bunch of illegal streams on it and a whole bunch of, like, wrestling videos off YouTube that they've been curating or whatever. And there's this, they have their chat feature that is riddled with, like, dudes saying, like, the most ignorant shit for laughs or whatever. It's, like, obscene, it's misogynistic, sexist, racist, a whole bunch of shitty macros, and it's basically the scum of the earth. Like, basically, if you wanted to look at the wrestling fan that the general public thinks is a wrestling fan, you know, the stupid idiot, ignorant, all that shit like that, that's exactly where you look for that type of fan. Really bad.
I'm gonna stay away
those dudes during, cause CZW had their show. CZW had their show over the weekend, which I did watch some of it. And you know AR Fox, you know what he ended up doing like a couple years back with the whole thug, with the whole thug bait thing, right?
Yeah.
Those dudes are still joking about that to this day. It's been like maybe 3 years since people found out about that shit.
Yeah.
Was really
gotta let that go.
That you guys are fucking assholes.
Yeah.
Really, dude. The dude has a wife, and I think she's the one that manages him too. I think, right? That's her, right?
I do not know. I do know he has a valet with him, but I don't know if that's.
I think that's her. Yeah, that's his wife. So he got his wife, and he's moved on with his life. But these people are such fucking losers that they are so fixated on making fun of him over that shit. It's really ridiculous. But yeah, stay away from YouTube. Stay away from that chat because it's terrible.
Damn, y'all better listen to Tuesday, man. This man is right. Do not go on the YouTube.
Don't even bother. Like, if you do go in it, don't even try to like argue with these people because they'll just troll the shit out of you. There's no point.
You're gonna be falling right into my trap.
Yeah.
You know no success. Alright. So I guess we can move on to the cards of the weekend, unless anybody else has anything else to cover. And Mofo, I think you got your
I have a segment that I was supposed to do.
Right. That's gonna be after commercial.
Yeah, I got a WrestleMania segment.
Right. Alright, so okay, to start it off, on October the 16th, AIW is having their show called Big Trouble in Little Cleveland. I thought that was cute. And the matches that they have here is for the AIW Tag Team Championship, To Infinity and Beyond of Cheech and Colin Delaney going up against dudes on TV, who is M-Dog, 20 Matt Cross, and DJ Zima Ion. Hot Sauce Entertainment of Tyson Dukes and Hot Sauce Trace Williams going up against the Full-Blooded Italian. I don't know where they found these guys at. Little Guido and fucking Tracy Smothers. God damn it. don't like Tracy Smothers. That's all. They're not showing me the entire card because this is all I got. They got Johnny Gargano going up against the Amazing Red, which I haven't seen him in a long ass time. But,
that's when he was in TNA.
Oh, Amazing Red? I thought he was, wait. He's in that, what the fuck is that thing called? He's in some organization in, fucking New York. I can't remember what it's called. But, that's something that he does.
Hold on, who?
The Amazing Red?
Is it?
Not NYWC.
Is it HOG? It's HOG, right?
Yeah. House of Glory. Yeah, that's what he does, like, now.
Apparently, he had a match with Leo Rush in House of Glory recently that apparently was really good. And I think he, like, sort of, like, passed the torch to Leo Rush in a way or some shit like that. So, Leo Rush is a guy that I guess we should really look at because he's probably going to be really big someday.
They might be a future client of mine. Hint, wink, wink. Another match that they have here, like I said, Johnny Gargano versus the Amazing Red. For the AIW Absolute Championship, the champion Ricky Shane Page is going up against the J-Lit tournament winner in 2015, Raymond Deathro. Eddie Kingston going up against Josh Prohibition. Tim fucking Dunst going up against the very underrated Lewis Linden, and just to settle all types of grudge matches because these women and men have been fucking each other up, Candice LeRae versus Cedric Alexander. who booked that? I'm watching that. And I believe this is the last match. It's a six-way scramble for the Intense Championship. Gregory Iron versus Eric Ryan versus Brian Carson versus David Vega versus Flip Kendrick versus Joshua Singh. And Alex Daniels versus Tyler Thomas versus Ethan Page versus ACH. And on the cover, they have Terry Funk on there. So I think that would be kind of interesting to see that. That is AIW's Big Trouble in Little Flea Blood. Next up, we have the two Evolve shows, Evolve 49 and Evolve 50. Evolve 49 is on Saturday, October 17th. The card here is as follows, because you know there's got to be a title with all the matches that's here. So here they are. This is a special attraction match between Jonathan Gresham and Matt Riddle. I don't know who Matt Riddle is. Special challenge match between Tracy Williams and Willie Mack.
Willie Mack?
I think he was in an Evolve show the last time.
Yeah, he's been popping up like.
And he was in Ring of Honor not too long ago, right? Like a couple months back? Yeah. Well, good old Willie. At least he's doing something. This is the High Flyers freestyle, so I don't know who's going to be, you know, flipping to the beat or whatnot. Anthony Neese going up against Andrew Everett. Going up against my client, the Money, Matt Cage, and Peter Casa. I don't know who that one is. Now this one, the winner, gets an Evolve Championship match at Evolve 50 the next night. The Legal Eagle, Drew Gulak, going up against the Carolina Caveman, Trevor Lee, who's Rob's client. A bonus match, because we've been doing so well this year, we're going to get a bonus main event tag team attraction. The Evolve Champion, Timothy Thatcher, TJ Perkins, going up against Trent Beretta and Rocky Romero for Poggy Bucks. Is an I Quit match. If Gargano loses... Oh, you're sneezing. Bless you. The I Quit match. If Gargano loses, he's going to leave the WWE Universe. Oh, no. So Johnny Gargano is going to face All Legal Ethan Page. First of all, these guys are feuding in two different companies. Okay. And next up is going to be Evolve 50. All this is going to be in New York. So if you're in the Deer Park, Long Island area, go to Evolve and enjoy yourselves. The bonus match, since we've been good on two separate occasions, we're going to get Ethan Page going up against Matt Cage. The High Flyers battle of Andrew Everett going up against Peter Casa. Special attraction match of Matt Riddle versus Mike Iron Chris Dickinson. Where they found him at. I don't know. Special challenge match number one, Willie Mack versus Drew Gulak or Trevor Lee, whoever loses at Evolve 49. So it's either Gulak or Trevor Lee. But the special challenge match number two, TJ Perkins versus Tracy Williams. Next up is a tag team main event grudge match for Pongy Vice going up against the premier athlete brand of Van Denise and Caleb Conley. Evolve Championship matches, Timothy Thatcher, whoever wins against Drew Gulak, and Trevor Lee. And this has been spreading like wildfire. They are saying that former NXT champion Sami Zayn will be at Evolve. And I don't think it's going to be live on the stream, but he will make an in-ring appearance. I don't know if he's even healthy to wrestle.
Well, Evolve.
Right.
I heard that they can't, like, they scrapped that or something like that already. They announced it and they scrapped it within a day.
So he's not gonna be there.
They say he's not gonna be there now.
Isn't that unfortunate? I thought they would have hit fucking the potluck right there. That's unfortunate for them. Alright. Well, Sami Zayn won't be there from nice old hidden sources that we know. Last show of the weekend for us here on Ryan Wrestling. This is a joint show between IWS and CZW. I think IWS is a Canadian, deathmatch federation, kind of like how CZW is here for America. This is Freedom to Fight. This is going to be this is going to be in Canada, actually. This is CZW's first time in Canada. So hopefully they do well down there. Nico Sozio going up against Rory Gulak. Chainsaw Joe Gacy going up against this guy named Essex. E-X-E-S-S. Okay. This is the Lariat DJ High going up against the Palm Strike Shane Hawk for the CZW World Tag Team Championship rematch. The rematch between Team Tremendous and Tabernacle Team for the CZW World Championship. Of course, there's no disqualification, but they dare even put that there. The Bulldozer Matt Trevon defends his championship against PCP's Crazy Effin' Manny. Don't know who that is. And the main event, IWS members of Green Phantom and the Hardcore Ninjas and Vampiro going up against the Danny Havoc, Devin Moore, and the Rich Connor class. And that will be on Saturday also. Like I said, it's going to be in Canada. So if you're willing to make the trip, go right ahead. Alright, so after this, which we're done, we're going to go on break and we'll be right back. Great the rest.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Rant and Wrestling on the Rant EM Radio Network. If you're listening to us on iTunes or the NNZ podcast, we appreciate you listening there as well. And of course, listen to us every Thursday night on Rant EM Radio. That's R-A-N-T EM Radio. Every Thursday night, get your Rant and Wrestling fix with myself, Hootie, Rob, and Doomsday as we bring you the best ranting show in the history of ranting shows. I would go over all the shows that are on EM Radio, but I don't have them in front of me. Sorry, Double A, I just don't. So, but definitely listen to them and everything. They are actually really awesome. Definitely enjoy, listen to some of our old episodes. You can hear them on iTunes and everything. So without further ado, I have my WrestleMania list. I believe last week I promised you guys my top five Ric Flair WrestleMania matches. And then I went and looked over it. He's only wrestled four of them at WrestleMania. He's only had four WrestleMania matches. So we're only going to do the two that are my favorite because actually I'm not a fan of the match with The Rock and Mick Foley. And the Macho Man Randy Savage actually is a good match. But it's more of a thing. Do I pick the match versus The Undertaker or the match versus Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 24? And my personal fix, the match with Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 24 to me is his best, is to be my favorite Ric Flair WrestleMania match of all time. It was just emotional. It was really good. Nobody thought he was going to win until the match actually happened. And then all of a sudden it was like, he might win. But it was a really, really good match with Shawn doing a super kick at the end. And then the moment afterwards, it was a very, very good match. So one of my more favorite matches of everything. But, you know, also check out the WrestleMania, I think it's 18 match against The Undertaker. It's the one in Toronto with Hogan versus Rock. But to me, that match was really good because the thing is that fucking Arn Anderson coming out of where hitting a spine buster for the first time in what seemed like years was really awesome. So any guys' thoughts? I know mostly outside of WrestleMania 8, most of Ric Flair's matches have been seen pretty much on WWE Network. Like, you can kind of, it's pretty new because he spent so much time at NWA. So, pretty sure you guys have some moments about the Ric Flair matches we had.
Was the first one that he had with, was it Randy Savage or was that at SummerSlam?
He had Randy Savage at WrestleMania 8, The Undertaker at WrestleMania 17, I want to say, 17 or 18. And then the match against Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 20. Well, the match against Mick Foley and The Rock at WrestleMania 20. And then the match at WrestleMania 24.
Okay. Now, who won the Randy Savage Ric Flair one?
Oh, Randy Savage won.
Okay. Because I remember the promo that he cut afterwards. Because he was, like, super pissed. I think both of them wasn't happy. You know, I think both of them was just literally upset and wanted to fight again. Whoever won the title, whoever lost the title, they were going at it verbally. The other one, I do remember the Hulk Hogan, I mean, not the Hulk Hogan, the Undertaker Ric Flair match. That was actually pretty good. Ric Flair, I didn't think it was going to be that good, you know, and then like you said, Arn Anderson comes out of nowhere, and this is Biker Taker. You know, this is, wasn't Dead Man Taker, you know, this is Biker Taker, this is My Yard, all that jazz. You know, I forgot how it started, but.
He beat up David Flair. He beat up David Flair in the bathroom.
Oh, that's petty. You piss on my seat, boy? You know, I don't know. It just, stuff happened. But that was actually a pretty decent match. Hey, WrestleMania 18, you know, you always talk about Hulk Hogan and The Rock, but I thought that show had it, you know, it had its up moments. You know, it was really, really decent.
The worst part about that show was the main event, the Chris Jericho versus Triple H.
Right. If it was anything to take away from that show, it was that match. But I enjoyed it. I know Ric Flair always being busted open anyway. Now the tag match with him and The Rock with, it was 3-2, right?
Yeah.
And, Randy Orton got the pin on The Rock, or Mick Foley, one of the two. That was actually pretty, it was just fun. It was just fun because you could see The Rock, you know, he was excited and all that stuff before. That was literally, I think, like his last WrestleMania until he came back for 27, mm-hmm. to my knowledge. But yeah, that was just a fun match. And of course, you know, the best one is Shawn Michaels and, Ric Flair, because Ric Flair was on that, his storyline was that he's about to retire and he's beating Carlito and Vince McMahon is like, next time you lose, your career is over. Not a career match, but a career match every time you wrestle. You know, that's never really been done before. No one wrestles until they lose and retire right away. So, that was pretty interesting. And, you know, they had storytelling with Shawn Michaels and Ric Flair. You know, and that was around, you know, Shawn Michaels being that old Mr. WrestleMania and proving it by fighting Ric Flair. And, you know, Ric Flair's all old. He didn't need to really talk. You know, to beat a man, you got to beat the man, woo. And he walks right out to the ring. No epic promo before he goes on his last little run. Just went out there and did it. You know, and the last little, you know, you can see Ric Flair crying, which he does a lot, more than the Big Show now. He actually was like, you know, Shawn Michaels like, I'm sorry, I love you and all that stuff. Shawn Michaels took a sick moonsault to the table, and yeah, I thought he just crushed all his ribs, all of them, all the ribs were working. But yeah, really fun match, really fun. And it's like Shawn Michaels was about to super kick him, and he hesitated, and Ric Flair was like, well, shit, figure four times. You know, it was just great. It was just great, and it was really, really fun. People respected Ric Flair until he wrestled in TNA. But he didn't wrestle in WWE, though. So that's my thoughts on all the Ric Flair matches. Doomsday, you got anything?
Hey. Smoke weed every day.
There we go. Not bad. Not next bad at
week,
all.
Our, next week, our list will be my top five. Let's do top five celebrities at a WrestleMania.
All right, that'll work. There's celebrities all over that bitch, especially in the 90s, especially in the 80s.
And actually, I'm gonna do one better. Top five celebrity matches at WrestleMania. Get ready for the best of the worst.
Yeah, Maria Menounos, we're talking to you.
Art Ball.
Yeah. Man, if they could have lost that too. Whatever. All right, 5-star wrestlers, you guys. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 until I find some new ones. Because it ain't open. 7. Doomsday, what you picking?
7.
7? Okay. This one is by the guy on Twitter, because it's definitely not 7. This is number 2. Actually, yeah, this is number 2. This is for the guy on Twitter named Seth Trollins, PWG.
Yeah.
I actually have to kind of talk to this guy. I haven't talked to him in a while. But yeah, this is Seth Trollins, PWG. And the first name that he has, he was actually in PWG's Battle of Los Angeles. This is Marty Scurll. and I have yet to see him yet. Until I see the Battle of Los Angeles, so I can actually get myself a little judge on him. I know people showed me, like, a video clip of him doing Marek. Is that the one that flips a lot?
Which one guy are you talking about?
Marty Scurll.
Marty Scurll, no, he is not the one that flips a lot.
That's the evil guy.
I think he's the one that's, like, more bearded, long brown hair, bearded.
Okay, that guy. Okay.
You're thinking about, like, Andrews and what's that other dude's name? I forgot.
Yeah, I know who Mark Andrews is. The other guy I was flipping. Well, not screw that. Marty Scurll, you got any thoughts on that?
I haven't seen much of him to really give a good opinion on him.
I haven't heard nothing bad.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything bad either, so.
Mofo. Anything on Marty
Scurll? Not seen him.
No? Alright. Next up is Andrew Everett. The High Flyer. I saw him as Chief of Kid. That was a nice little thing that he did, you know, with the, that was with, National Pro Wrestling Day when it first started.
Yeah, that was the first time I saw him. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the first time I heard of him. First time I saw him was like when I was in PWX and he was a champion. He was over there flipping and all that stuff. And he had a lot of clothes on. Like, a lot of clothes on as he wrestled. It was really weird because he changed and called himself Andrew Everett when he went to CZW. And it was like, oh yeah, that's Andrew Everett, formerly known as the Chief of Kid. And I don't know why he stopped wearing the mask. I have not a clue. But, I mean, he got rid of it. Most people stay with masks all their lives, but he made the transition. And Andrew Everett, really athletic, really agile, almost like a slim version of Neville. You know, but yeah. Neville does way more flips than he does. And Andrew Everett has a bad knee now. But he's still really, really agile. He can do flips out the yin yang. Like, yeah. Not like Jack Evans flips. He does a lot of, like, twists and shit.
Yeah.
But, like, Andrew Evans can do a springboard, shooting star to the outside, and he'll have a lot of air back.
A lot of hang time.
Yeah, it's like one of the few that I know that can do a double moonsault. Like, okay.
Yeah, he's one of the very few ones. Yeah.
It's like, maybe. You can count on one hand, maybe, because I only know Ricochet and him, to my knowledge. And he always misses. Andrew Everett, really not bad. I don't know about him talking, but in ring, phenomenal. Not a bad guy. Chief of Kid.
Chief of Kid.
Nothing.
Well, yeah, he was pretty dope. I like Andrew Everett. I definitely remember. I think I've seen more of him in CZW than anything. But what I saw in CZW was really cool. But I definitely remember watching him versus Trevor Lee in what's it called? That's CW. What was that one? What was that?
Yeah, CWF Mid-Atlantic.
Yeah, Mid-Atlantic. I saw one of their matches during in there. I was blown away by it. It was really good. I think that was before the knee injury and stuff like that. But like post knee injury, he's still been doing really good. Like flipping all over the place with it. So, I really
right. He hasn't lost anything. Like he's not scared.
Yeah, he hasn't lost a step. Yeah, he really hasn't. But it's definitely interesting to see where he goes from here. But he's cool.
Right. Mofo, you got any thoughts on Andrew Everett?
I actually like Andrew Everett a lot. Spot Monkey, but, you know, I mean, he's, to me, a good talent. I mean, I like what he's accomplished so far. You know, I hope that he gets actually some more play and some more pub later on because, you know, to me, he's a guy who... You know, he's a really, really decent wrestler. I mean, he kind of reminds me of a little bit of a little bit more of like Amazing Red and everything. But, you know, I mean, I enjoy his work. So I enjoy seeing what he's done.
And I like how we always compare him to other wrestlers because we've already seen it before. It's just like he's like all, you know, jumbled up into one, you know, but it's still a positive. You know, and he was on TNA, Bound for Glory.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's doing pretty well for himself. Next up is Josh Alexander. Steady Boo. That's your dude. Dude, so you go first this time. You just thought so. Josh Alexander. Damn. Walking weapon.
Josh Alexander, walking weapon. Never really got the chance to see much of him singles-wise. I didn't see much of him singles-wise. I saw a lot of him as part of the Monster Mafia with Ethan. Shit. That tag team I really enjoyed. But him, I thought his look was alright. Him as a wrestler was okay, too. Monster Mafia as a team was dope, but him like as an individual was okay to me. I wasn't really feeling him that much.
All right. Mofo, your thoughts on Josh Alexander?
I kind of agree with Doomsday. The Rick Steiner thing was kind of, it was okay, but I never really like rushed to see a Josh Alexander match. Apparently he's really good from what I've heard, but I mean, I guess I'll take someone's word for it. I'm not going to be in a rush to listen to what go with one of his matches, you know. Monster Mafia I like, but just I heard that he was good, but I guess I just never really looked for any of his matches. I mean, I don't know if that's a bad thing or a good thing, but he never really made me feel as though I was missing anything.
Didn't he retire recently?
Yeah, he retired. He had some concussion issues.
Oh, okay.
Something with his neck or something. Something bad that if he wrestled, I think he could still wrestle again, just like take that Shawn Michaels hiatus. You know, take that 5 years, 6 years off, and probably just do it again. But, yeah, he's done now. Josh Alexander, I've seen him in the singles before he had the whole, you know, Rick Steiner deal. And I didn't even know about the Monster Mafia until, like, maybe a year later. Because I remember he was feuding with Ethan Page, and I was like, oh, in Canada, those guys were attacking. I had no idea. And I like Josh Alexander's work, because he wrestled Michael Elgin to a time limit draw, like, maybe, like, twice. And he did really, really well. Him on the mic is kind of calm. Looks like he would be, like, a firefighter. That's all I see in him. But he's not. He to me, I look at him and be like, you look like you would be a firefighter. You know? And him on the mic, I mean, nothing to blow away, but more like I do my talking in the ring type of guy. And I remember why he had that headgear on. It was because in Jaylee, I think like 2 years ago, he never wrestled with it on. And I think he had a match with like ACH or something like that, and his ear started bleeding. And I think he had, like, his ear was, like, fucking, like, swollen up or something. He had to drain the pus out and all that. And they showed it on the camera. It was really gnarly. So ever since then, he had that headgear on. You know, and you sometimes see him throw it off and all that stuff. That's fine, whatever. I'd rather him wrestle with it without it. But if he is comfortable with it on, keep it on. Be safe. You know, you don't want to have that cauliflower ear. Pretty sure he probably already did. Him and Ethan Page, fine. Elton, fine. I think I see Gargano, Josh Alexander also. But yeah, Alexander has I just can't hear him like that. Like he doesn't talk much. He's more. He's not gonna cut no amazing promo. How about that? That's why he leaves Ethan Page to do all the talking. Next up is another person I'm not really too familiar with. This is Kaylee Ray. Have y'all heard of her?
Kaylee Ray. I believe she's one of the NXT girls.
Oh, she is?
Yeah, I believe so.
Did she just get signed? I've heard of her, but I don't know if she...
I thought she just got signed by them, right? Unless I'm thinking of somebody else.
Yeah. Don't know that one.
Oh, no. Yeah, she did. I think she... No, correction. She actually showed up. I think she showed up on the last taping over the weekend. That's why I remember her. That's why I remember her and associated her with NXT. I think she had one match. I don't know if she's had... I don't think she's been signed, but she had one match, and I believe she also did some work for TNA also. I think she's another one of those Irish Johns or Scottish or whatever. Right. Yeah. She's Scottish or some shit.
One of those outsiders.
One of those UK.
Don't know much about her.
Nope, I don't know.
And the last name, which I'm pretty sure we all know who this guy is, former JC Heavyweight Champion, Naomichi Marufuji. And, matter of fact, Mofo, you go first. You got anything on Marufuji?
I actually like Marufuji a lot. Actually, he faced Eddie Edwards last year, or a couple years ago, right?
Yeah.
I remember.
Yeah, it was like a couple years.
I know he was supposed to be at that Border Wars, and he couldn't be there. And the other guy wrestled Eddie Edwards.
It was Tai Chi, I think, or Tai Chi, whatever.
Something. He flips.
Yeah, that the guy that dressed in yellow and shit.
Right.
But, yeah, I'm actually, Marufuji, I mean, I've seen only a little bit of his stuff, but, you know, to me, good talent, everything I've seen from everything, you know, definitely, dude is going to probably, you know, blow me out the water with more information about him, but,
right.
Yeah, you know, Marufuji, I'm not prepared for Marufuji, I like him.
Yeah. Dude, say you go ahead.
Yeah, he's one of those dudes that has, the prototypical, educated feet and shit. He has some cool thrust kicks and, super kicks and all the other type of shit like that. He has a nice handspring going on. He's a great wrestler. It was between him and, Kenta back, in Pro Wrestling Noah and shit like that, who were like the best dudes out of there before, Kenta eventually left and shit. I think he's been slowing down a little bit in the past like, few years or so. But I think one of the things that's basically kind of outshined him in the past year is this whole thing with Suzuki Gun and shit. That whole invasion that's been going on for almost a year now. But he's still putting out good matches and shit like that, though. He's dope. I would love to see him. I would love to see him in New Japan more. Because he's showed up in New Japan every now and then. He had a great match with Shinsuke Nakamura for the IC title, I believe, early last year.
Yeah. But, I was watching, I think this guy made his top matches from King of Pro Wrestling, and that was on there for the Intercontinental Championship. But yeah, I think that was like, I want to guess to say 2012. I could be wrong. I can't remember, but I know it was on there.
It might have been 2013. I don't know.
Yeah, right. I know it was on there for sure. I just don't know the year. Marufuji, I know who he is thanks to Ring of Honor. Back when they were doing them joint shows with Pro Wrestling Noah back in the day and Jackie and all that stuff. So we have him on there. And I believe he was on that best Ring of Honor show that everyone talks about with Glory of Honor 5.
Yeah.
And I think he wrestled Nigel. If he didn't wrestle Nigel, then Brian Danielson did. You know? So, him and in-ring, good worker, you know, very fast, and he looks like he hits pretty hard, you know, with his kicks, of course. But if Ring of Honor brings him back, I'd just be like, okay, but I never would, like, break my neck to see a match of his. You know, I might go watch a Kenta match over him. You know, I might see a Josh Alexander match over him. So,
there's a couple of those Japanese guys that, to me, I don't see the appeal of.
Right.
There's a couple of those guys. Like, I know I'm going to get flack for this. I just never been a huge Tanahashi fan.
Tanahashi's pretty plain. I know more of Tanahashi than Marufuji.
I think it's partially because Tanahashi's like the John Cena of New Japan.
Wouldn't Marufuji be the John Cena of Noah?
Not exactly.
Who would that be?
Not exactly. I don't know. I don't even think they have. Yeah, they don't have like a face of their company. Noah, that's the That's the biggest problem with Noah. They don't have a face of their company.
Oh, really for them.
Like, you could argue Kenta was the face at some, like, for a good amount of years. But
not the John Cena deal.
But, yeah.
More like a Bret Hart thing?
Yeah.
Okay. That'll work. But that's it. Go to Five Star Wrestlers. Anything else y'all would like to bring up or plugs? Whatever y'all got.
Yeah, I guess I'll plug my shit as usual. Doomsday519.tumblr.com at Joey Doomsday on Twitter. Doomsday519 on Daily Motion, even though I don't use that shit as much anymore. Doomsday Space 519 on YouTube. That's my main YouTube account. And Doomsday Space Gorilla, as in PWG Gorilla, and on YouTube. That's my backup account.
Alright. Mofo?
I got nothing.
I don't know why I keep calling you. I need to NFC Podcast for me. Just hit us line or just follow us. That would be really, really nice. And I would like to send my apologies to one Blake Bortles. I told y'all a couple of weeks ago, don't start Blake Bortles.
Yeah. You
know what? Son. This man dropped 4 touchdowns last week.
No, I listened to you. I listened to you, and I didn't start him. And that cost me.
You know what? Don't blame me. That is Jacksonville's own doing. If they were good, you wouldn't have any doubt. Now they started to throw some touchdowns at Hearns and stuff. I might pick up. I'm not sure, but yeah, Blake Bortles. I apologize. You are the man. In Jackson. But other than that, Mofo, you got the closing words, sir? You remember those.
I do remember those. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Thank you for listening to Greatness. We always end, once again, you're welcome. Remember, until next week, stay live. Not
We'll see y'all next week, y'all.